I do want to return to these deeper long-run issues, but first I want to ask you, Mark, about your, we'll call it your stock market prediction. We're going to go into earnings seasons. The market, it was up slightly today. I guess that's an FOMC-type boost, the confidence in the Fed-type argument that they'll bail us out. But and the market's down roughly 10% this calendar year. Do you expect the stock prices to slide significantly? The crash is maybe too dramatic, but do you expect reality to reduce these equity prices?
Yes, I do, and I have been for quite some time, and have been in effect betting in that same way, and I continue to do so. I think equity prices are headed lower. I know that a lot of people say, well, this must be a bottom or that must be a bottom. But I think basically, you know, the economy is in contraction. It continues to contract, and that's going to continue. The stock market has fallen off of its highs. It's been falling rather consistently throughout this year, and I expect that to continue. I think that there's still way too much optimism. The Fed and the Treasury, you know, have been doing everything in their power to sort of stimulate the economy and to prop up the financial markets. And today's holding the federal funds rate constant is basically an indication that the Fed is out of bullets. I mean, it's tried just about everything, and things continue to falter. And, you know, the financial stocks are continuing to falter. And so that is an indication to me that things are going to continue. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't get rallies within a stock market recession. And that's what we saw here in the late spring, is that there was a rally within this overall bear market. But then the bear market has resumed itself, and, that will in turn also, there will be some kind of rally. But I think the long-term trend is down. I think we have a significant ways to go. And, you know, and within that trend also, there's every possibility of some kind of crash that might occur where you get
right,
a significant...
Right, when everyone heads for the exit at the same time.
And one event...
Yeah,
that,
and the market, even if we do believe it's going to go down, and I do too, significantly, with a risk, significant risk of a real crash, you know, cut these indexes by at least half. There's always going to be there are these bear market rallies, and it's never a straight line. So what would you advise? Some people would just stay out of the stock market, but others could use prudent bear or other vehicles to put some money towards shorting, or you could short individual stocks.
Well, I think individuals have a hard time picking individual stocks, especially to short, and it's a very intimidating process. So I recommend, you know, one thing people can do is go to cash. Another thing they can do is to invest in bear market funds that look at to do the opposite of what the market is doing. And, of course, you never really have to go, you know, more than 50% to hedge yourself against market downturns or against market rallies and things of that nature. So there are, you know, you don't want to be permanently invested in bear market funds because, in general, the market does go up over much longer periods of time. But I think we're in for a significant period of a bear market here, probably one of the longer ones that you typically experience. But even on average, we still would have – even if we had an average bear market, we still have months to go in the summer.
And
summer is usually a downtime.
I want to turn to Iowa because it triggers two thoughts. One is they've had these flooding problems, and Iowa's responsible for 16% of the some outputs, grains, as I understand it, from news reports. And I have a friend there who's very concerned about, as many are, about the middle class. And I don't think he is headed in the right direction as the maybe the Obama, Barack, and Barack Obama and Hillary Rodham Clinton campaigns would do. It looks like we're under-governmented, that we should expand government programs and use more protectionist measures, etc. And your article of June 4 was wonderful, called "The Fed's War on the Middle Class," where you pinned the tail on the right donkey. It seems to me the Federal Reserve has either created or enhanced so many problems that work against the prosperity of the middle class. One was inflation, which we've discussed in some detail already. The second is the housing bust, which is also where the Fed's also culpable for creating this boom, which is going to inevitably be followed by a bust. But the third one was you, in contrast to a lot of free market economists, thought, well, there's some problems in the statistical distribution of income where in recent years, if not decades, it seems like the rich got richer, where some hedge fund managers were compensated the tune of $1 billion in 1 year. Or, these enormous CEO payments, it just seemed incredible. Then, while wage earners haven't flourished the way they have in some decades, and how is the Fed, the Federal Reserve's irresponsible money policies distorting the distribution of rewards received?
Well, as you said earlier, the Fed wants to keep all of this a great secret from the American public because everything it does hurts the middle class. It hurts the basic taxpayer. It hurts the basic consumer. But think of what the Fed does. It gives reserves to New York City banks and big banks, and from there, the process of borrowing and lending and financial deals take place. And so that's where all the money has been over the last several years, at least a decade, is you make money by going to the money market and getting involved in that. And so we have one hedge fund manager who actually earned $3.4 billion in one calendar year. And, that's how the system works. If you pour money into the economy at a certain point, you're going to attract the most able, the brightest minds, the most risk takers, and they're going to take advantage of that fount of money. And mm-hmm. So that's what's happened. And so people from places like Auburn, Alabama, and Arkansas and Texas, the best and brightest have ended up as fund managers in New York because the money is so great there. And where the rest of us, we don't get to see that. All we get is higher prices, and so we're stuck
and
holding the bag.
And these low interest rates engineered by the Fed discourage savings, which is a vehicle to flourish and raise yourself up. And this is Morgan Reynolds on the Dynamic Duo interviewing Mark Thornton, the economist, and we will be back with more on the economy.
Warning! The EPA states indoor air pollution is the number one health problem today, causing 50% of all illnesses. Go to germfree33.com. Technology developed for NASA is now available to protect your family and health. Laboratory proven to eliminate 99.9% of deadly MRSA, black mold, E. coli, bird flu, and more from all surfaces. germfree33.com. Remove pollen, mold, pet dander, dust mites, and more from the air. Germfree33.com. World's best air purifiers. Nothing else compares. Germfree33.com. No expensive filters to replace. Covers 3,000 square feet. See the proof at germfree33.com. Order from our secure website. Credit cards accepted. Order by phone 800-492-1073. Payment plans available 800-492-1073. Germfree33.com. The world's best air purifiers.
Prepare for an uncertain future with DVDs from the winner of 13 Telly Awards. Hood's Woods is the world leader in survival instructional videos. Hood's Woods produces an outstanding collection of survival DVDs, from cave cooking to survival basics to home survival DVDs, covering topics such as food storage and home emergency planning. You will learn survival techniques for use in the wild and in your very own home, used by scouts, the military, and families around the world. If you would like to learn more about survival, trapping, cave cooking, navigation, tracking, hiking, desert survival, and much more. Visit survival.com and browse through the largest assortment of survival DVDs online. For the low price of only $19.95 each, you can also purchase the entire 24-DVD Hoods Woods collection by going to survival.com. To place your order or to request a free catalog, call 888-257-2847. That's 888-257-2847. Or visit us online at survival.com. That's survival.com, the world leader in survival instructional videos.
If you need real relief from chronic pain due to arthritis, back, neck, or leg pain, improve circulation, or have other health concerns, you need to visit Transformation Technologies by...
...to this current veil of tears. Now, one thing, though, that the so-called Austrian-style economists argue is that the recession is actually, while it brings pain, it is therapeutic. It's recuperative. It aligns the system with reality and creates the preconditions for prosperity or sound economic growth. Isn't that the case, Mark?
It is the case. I mean, that's why they call it a correction in the market. That's exactly what happens, is that resources, capital, and labor have to be reallocated back to where they're efficient and where they're rational. And we've obviously had a very irrational economy with, you know, huge trade deficits and budget deficits and this huge bubble in housing, in the stock market. All of these things which are out of the norm have to be corrected for. And so, you know, we're going through that process. We are reallocating resources away from housing and into other sectors and moving things back around. But the recession is going to be painful, and I don't expect the Fed and the government to want to really go through this correction process wholeheartedly until after the election. They want to suspend the actual correcting process until after the election takes place, and that's usually when they tell us that the game is over and they start raising rates and they start even cutting expenditures and taking away all of the favors that they promised us during the election campaign, and I'm afraid they're going to have to do a lot of that this time around.
I want to urge listeners to go to the Mises.org, M-I-S-E-S.org website, and if you go to daily articles, you'll find Mark Thornton's recent article, The Fed's War on the Middle Class. That was posted on June 4. Read this article. And one of the things toward the end of the article that Mark points out, Mark Thornton points out, is that our current national government debt is approaching $10 trillion, and its total unfunded liabilities. I gather that the Treasury Department still has to put together these numbers for the kind of the total financial obligations, is approaching $60 trillion. Now, these numbers are just, you know, staggering. Aren't they promises that can't be cashed in or really delivered on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and this is the longer run, you know, political promises that cannot possibly be met. I mean, the federal government has, in a sense, borrowed $250,000 for every man, woman, and child in this country, and that's money that just can't be paid back, you know, and so something's going to have to come of all that. Promises are going to be broken. Promises are going to be inflated away so that, you know, possibly Social Security benefits could be inflated away or cut back. And so, you know, that long-range problem is looming, and it tells us that inflation is going to continue as a problem in the United States. And once we all realize that, once we realize that they're going to resort to an ongoing inflation to solve their fiscal problems, then, you know, people are going to spend their money. They're not going to want to hold it. And that's what kicks in this hyperinflationary phase that we've seen in history, that we're seeing right now in Zimbabwe. I mean, they talk about the murders over there, but, I mean, they've destroyed the economy through inflation, and that's exactly where we're headed for. Even though we look prosperous and we have all these things now, well, Zimbabwe was a very prosperous country at one time as well, one of the most prosperous in all of Africa. And
well, was that northern Rhodesia once upon a time, or southern, one of the two?
Southern Rhodesia, I think. Yeah. I was looking at that on the map, and I couldn't quite remember which one it was, but it was very prosperous, and it was the breadbasket of Africa. And now one of our U.S. dollars is worth 10 billion Zimbabwe dollars. And, you know, you saw the same thing in Bolivia. You saw the same thing in Germany. And it's, you know, it's unpayable debts, which lead governments to wash away the debts with higher and higher inflation.
Yeah, it certainly highlights the importance of a sound money. It is just so crucial to social stability, much less a productive economy. And you point in your article to a way out is the gold standard. And let me just read at the end, you quote the Austrian economist Joseph Schumpeter, who said, and I quote, the gold standard is extremely sensitive to government expenditure and even to attitudes or policies that do not involve expenditures directly, for example, the foreign policy, to certain policies of taxation, and in general to precisely all those policies that violate the principles of economic liberalism. This is the reason why gold is so unpopular now, and also why it was so popular in the bourgeois era. So really, a gold standard really puts an incredible check on irresponsible government.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's you have to have a gold standard monetary system if you're going to have democracy. If you're going to have, you know, the right of people and politicians to vote away your wealth and give it to somebody else, I mean, you really have to have that check, that gold standard check, because it really undermines government ability to go beyond what the people want. And, you know, so I recommend everybody immediately go on their own personal little gold standard and own some used silver coins and some gold coins and things of that nature. Start protecting yourself. You know, if you've got that those extra dollars, if you're lucky to have some extra dollars, I would urge you to, over time, to convert them to use silver coins and some kind of gold asset, even jewelry. Gold jewelry, although it's not the best gold value, at least it's it has, you know, two roles to play: protecting your financial future as well as an ornamental thing for yourself or your wife or your girlfriend or whoever it happens to be. And you know, the more Americans start going in that direction of going for your own personal gold standard, of getting away from the dollar, of getting out of dollar assets, the faster we can put pressure on the Federal Reserve. Because if we refuse to hold U.S. dollars, it makes their ability to inflate go away, because it results in quicker, higher, faster prices. And something has got to come with this, because the road we're going on right now is the road to self-destruction.
Yeah, I'm afraid that there's a lot more pain to be suffered in this current system before we're ever going to politically adopt a gold standard. But one of the most attractive parts to me about a precious metal standard is it makes the government a lot less irresponsible. For example, to go off and invade little countries halfway around the world and spend enormous amounts on that is a lot harder to do when you've got a gold standard.
Yes, absolutely. That would not have been possible on a gold standard.
This is Morgan Reynolds, and that's our interview today with economist Mark Thornton. I thank him so much. Go to the Mises.org website. That's Mises.org. Read Mark's article of June 4 and many other resources available there. It's just great. Thank you, Mark.
Morgan enjoyed it.
And in the second hour today, I am delighted to welcome musician Warren Cucurullo. And I'm going to have to find out if I've got that, Warren. I've got to ask you right away, am I making the correct pronunciation of your last name?
Let's try it one more time, Dr. Reynolds.
Okay.
Cucurullo?
Cucurulo?
Cucurulo.
Okay.
I'm so here. I'm on the line.
It's kind of an R sound after the R there. Not an R sound, an O sound. Okay.
You can go with Brulo. It's like a coup d'etat, right?
Yes.
And then another coup.
Coup
d'etats. And then Urulo.
Urulo.
Usually do Rulo after a coup or two.
But Warren was born in Brooklyn, 1956, and he's a guitarist, I guess, fundamentally. That's your basic instrument in rock and pop. And he's done work with some big names, Frank Zappa, Duran Duran. He's a founding member of Missing Persons. If you go to the, I looked at Wikipedia as well as the myspace.com/ Warren Cucurulo, and we're going to get that corrected in the next hour. But
yeah, it's at the end.
You come across as a free spirit guy, a rebel, etc. And even we're notorious there for a couple of years, I guess, being on the web here as in porn shots. So this is a guy, I guess, Steve Martin, the comedian, would label a wild and crazy guy. And he's a very talented man. I went on MySpace.com, and I really liked one song in particular, which was, I can't even say it on the air,
Raging
Warren.
Bull
Raging
blank.
Bull, please.
Raging Bull Blank.
Raging BS. Spelled
Raging
off
BS,
so
that
quite
yeah.
Literally.
Or Raging Shield.
You have, among other talents, I really like your voice. Your vocals are really great. And Warren's an edgy musician, was the way I would put it. And you're talking about a mostly ignorant man here and experimental. And one thought that occurs to me, Warren, about the music is that, the Raging Bull blank.
Raging Bull blank, yeah.
Yeah, song has some lyrics that show that marries, we'll say, art and politics. And that is, a couple of lyrics are, "Gots to give me the truth," and I love this one, "Better reboot the system." You know, a dullard like me says, hey, we need a constitutional crisis. But Warren says, better reboot the system, or sings that.
You get all the bugs out.
Pardon?
That gets all the bugs out. You know, you turn off the computer, you pull out the plug, you leave it out for a few seconds, you plug it back in, and all the bugs should be gone.
I wish it were that simple, socially and politically, huh? When we've got, and really the major reason I wanted Warren on the show was he's a musician, he's in showbiz, he comes at this whole 9/11 thing from a different place. And one question though I have about your career is,
why porn?
Pardon?
Why porn?
Why porn?
Why porn? Is that the question?
No. That's just evidence of your free spirit,
exactly.
Is the way I would put it. But no, I'm talking about the. I wanted to get your answer on this trade-off between following your own star as an artist, which is what you seem to be doing now, versus being commercial or making a lot of money.
Well,
is that a problem?
Well, you can't. Music is a pure thing, you know. And when you write your own music, and you go to that place where the ideas come from, you can't think of it like a business. It has to be from your heart and your soul. So, you know, a lot of kids.
And what happens? What happens commercially? That is, whether you make money is just whatever happens.
Well, I could have chosen to become just a straight jazz musician, you know, try and excel in that field. But when I left Frank Zappa's band, I was very young. I was like 23 when I left his band. And, you know, there was like a new wave happening. There was a new vibe going on in modern music, and it was kind of underground. And we gravitated, myself and the drummer Terry Bozzio and his wife Dale, we gravitated towards that music, but we still had elements of our musicianship in that music, and we and you know, and we took a lot of pride in the crafting of those songs. So, you know, it's and Zappa didn't just do one kind of music. He did stuff that was as, you know, experimental in the classical vein, and then he did R&B, like doo-wop stuff too. So we, coming, all of us coming from Zappa's band, we were all versed in different kinds of music, and we knew what we liked and what we didn't like, and that, you know. And it didn't all involve monsters.
If you put out lots of the genre, or hey, some of it makes a living for you, and some doesn't.
Yeah, you know, it was that's true. And I hit the jackpot when I got into Duran Duran, because I wouldn't be living the life I'm living right now if it wasn't for the success that we achieved in the '90s. You know, Duran was known mainly as an '80s band, but I had my biggest success in the music business period in the '90s.
I see.
Yeah.
So you've got some fat to consume here, and don't have to worry about the paycheck to paycheck.
Oh, it's the you know, the residuals, and I got into the restaurant business 6 years ago. I'm doing very well in that as well. So
really,
but I just want to show you how my brain. I want to show you how my brain works.
Doing well, huh?
Huh?
The restaurant business.
Restaurant business is fantastic, yeah, because it is entertainment, and we offer great service, great product, so it's you know, a lot of pride in that as well. You know?
Is that the Venetian? It's
so we have one on Main Street here in Santa Monica called Via Veneto that's got worldwide recognition because it's got a
wow,
yeah, it's got a huge celebrity clientele, and it's fantastic food. There's another place we have called Hidden that we bought from. Arnold Schwarzenegger's, it was Arnold's building when we bought the restaurant, and it was Arnold's restaurant before his friend Charlie Temmel, another Austrian, had bought it from him. We bought it from Charlie. So there's a, anyway, let me show you how my brain's been working since I woke up. I've only been awake for about a year now. My TV has been off the whole time since I woke up. But when I was listening to your introduction, I was listening to the Beatles song, and the name of the show is The Dynamic Duo. Now, you're the only host on the show today, so there's only one host. I did the show once before, and it was only Jim on the show. And then the song you play first is not written by the dynamic duo of the Beatles, Lennon and McCartney. It's written by George Harrison. So is this some kind of mind game?
Unintended, yeah. We're practicing MK Ultra on you.
Yes, but when you think like that, you eventually come around to, when you're looking into things like 9/11, you'll look into everything, you know, and I remember seeing you on Fox one time talking about cartoons crashing into the World Trade Center. And, you know, oh, are we getting towards the break?
We are.
We're not allowed to talk about cartoons crashing into the World Trade Center?
We've got a lot more to go,
okay.
And Warren's going to have to forgive me. I will be back soon after the break. Morgan Reynolds, your host, with Warren Cucurullo. On the other side of the break. Back to the Dynamic Duo here on GCN. I'm Morgan Reynolds, your guest host today, substituting for Jim Fetzer. He presides at the microphone the middle 3 days of the week on the Dynamic Duo, while Kevin Barrett, Boy Wonder, is the host on Mondays and Fridays. And today I am interviewing Warren Cucurullo.
Oh, that's a new pronunciation now.
That's a new one. I'm searching. Well, really, I know some Spanish. If you had a double L, that would be a Y, pronounced as a Y.
And then there's some Italians that say the double C is cooch. But I actually, it's just very simple. It's Cucurullo.
Cucurullo.
There you go.
There it is. Well, that would be the anglicized and natural way to do it, I think.
Yeah, well, I'm already anglicized because my first name is supposed to be Guarino.
Firstborn son
is always named after the father's father.
Okay.
So
well,
Warren
has a reference that I should give, and that's myspace.com, and that would be Warren Cucurullo, and that's Warren, everybody, I think, would know how to spell that, and that's Cucurullo. Warren, before the break came along, you mentioned that I did a 3.5-minute interview on Fox and claimed that we had cartoon planes at the World Trade Center. Now, you were alerted to the 9/11 being a fraud or a false flag operation much earlier, I imagine.
Yeah, it was,
take us back.
Well, it was a year after I wrote Raging Bull Blank. It was May of 07 when I saw there was some controversy on CNN, which was my favorite station. I now call it CNNemy. But Rosie O'Donnell, there was something about Rosie was questioning some building that fell on 9/11. And I'm like, which one of the two? And she was talking about a third building. And that was all it took for me was to Google that, WTC7. And, you know, I woke up in 6 seconds, basically.
I see.
But
yeah,
11
so
months later, I got around
to... Well, nearly 6 years after the event, you weren't one of those early birds who suspected there's something way wrong with this right from the get-go.
No, but as things went on with, I was kind of paying a slight attention to what was going on with the 9/11 commissions and all that, and I thought, you know, everything started to stink pretty soon afterwards because the firemen's tapes weren't released for like a year or 14 months. There was all these things, all these delays. It was like,
yeah.
Why are they doing this? You know, they're not really looking into it. And then when Cheney and Bush said they had to hold hands and testify together, that was too much. So, you know, when
under oath with no transcript allowed.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know they're guilty just from that alone, you know.
Right.
Anyway,
yeah, there was, you know, Michael Moore's, what do you call that, Fahrenheit 9/11. Something or other, you know, he grossed $100 million on that project, right? At the end of this, not at the end, but if you get the DVD, it has a few of these trailer-like things, these extras, and one of them is George W. Bush coming out on the porch of the White House and facing the media after this hand-holding session in front of the 9/11 commission.
Yeah, I've seen
and
that.
And here he is. He's winging it. He's not scripted.
Yeah,
and it is just as pathetic as you would imagine it would be.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it.
Oh, you have? Yeah.
I've seen it. Yeah, it's pathetic. But also when he got
and
caught off guard.
We had a nice talk.
Oh, I know, but when he got caught off guard in that press conference, when asked about, you know, somebody asked him, you know, Howard Dean said, is this a time for politics? You know, you had foreknowledge of 9/11, and you know, the W didn't know what to say. And then you could see his programming kicked in, and he emulated his you know, his handler, Cheney, as best as he could, and he went, that's an absurd insinuation. I mean, it was like Cheney speaking through him. He didn't know what to say. He was gazed, glazed over. But these guys have been on a hidden agenda bender for centuries. Bottom line, you know, this is nothing new. It didn't just happen on 9/11.
No. There's a hidden history, hidden from most Americans, it seems. For example, Pearl Harbor, the original Pearl Harbor. Deliberately arranged by Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yeah, when we've been given a false reality. Somebody who spoke about received reality that he always questioned. We lost this week was George Carlin, who was a great voice for truth, and he made a lot of people laugh, but he made a lot of people think differently about their lives and what's surrounding them. You know, what a loss that was.
Yes, it was. Yeah. I was a fan of his too. Right from the beginning, I was—I can recall the hippy dippy weatherman. But when he went off on his own way, great stuff from him.
If we can change
angry,
the headline,
great
it'd be much
stuff.
Better to lose Michael Reagan this week. You know, that would have been a death worth celebrating. It's like I say, rest in piss. We reserve a special place for people like that. They rest in piss. You know.
Well. Gee, you're a mean-spirited a rebel, aren't you?
Well, I remember in the words of Jordan Maxwell, he said, remember, when this all comes down and you guys are living in shackles and you are truly slaves, remember, I'm paraphrasing here, but
yes.
Remember the people who lied to you, those news reporters that were telling you everything was okay.
Oh, yeah. They deserve the toastiest place in hell.
Yes, they certainly do. And
so
11 months into my 9/11
research, front false flag operation.
Yeah, 11 months into my 9/11 research, I find the most damaging, which is what you were on Fox talking about. There were no planes anywhere on 9/11. 9/11, and the proof of the CGI is even stronger than controlled demolition, I have to say. And anyone who's out there who is saying that no planes is disinformation, it's like the Night of the Living Dead zombies. I'm sure you can see it too. When people are talking about no planes is disinfo, you see them drooling, right? You see the drool coming down? I see it.
Meaning that we're talking double-digit IQs instead of triple?
I'm talking about, you know, prominent people in the 9/11 community who still say 9/11 that the planes hit the buildings, and that's, you know, to me that.
Why are they doing that so insistently? Why such resistance, Warren?
Because they're protecting the media. That's the only thing I could. That's the only reason I could give.
Yeah, it is true proof positive that the media, from Peter Jennings, all these sweetheart anchors, and above, we're in on it.
Yes.
And it's going to take a while, but the truth has legs. It needs no protection. We will be back. This is Morgan Reynolds on the Dynamic Duo with my guest, Warren Cucurullo. Well, here on GPN, I'm Morgan Reynolds, your guest host today, substituting for Jim Fetzer, who works the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shift at the Dynamic Duo, and we have Kevin Barrett, Boy Wonder, hosting on Mondays and Fridays. And right now I have the pleasure of speaking with Warren Cucurullo, who is a fantastic musician. He's got a site at myspace.com, and his last name is spelled C-U-C-C-U-R-U-L-L-O. And tomorrow my guest will be Dr. Judy Wood, a PhD engineer who's done path-breaking work on 9/11, along with Canadian inventor, scientist John Hutchison. And Warren, I just heard via email one of our astute listeners said that you claimed that when you talk about 9/11, you talk about everything. And yet it seems like a lot of the 9/11 truth movement, actually, they don't want to talk about everything. They want
things. I call it the 9/11 partial truth movement. My advice to everyone out there, and this comes from everybody, I've heard Alex Jones say it, I hear everybody say it, stay away from movements. This is my version of it, though. Stay away from movements unless they have something to do with the dance floor, Mozart, Bach, or Bowel.
So forget about political movements, right?
Yes.
And they are always trying to unify. Well, that means you got to shut up, right?
You have to shut your shucking face. Like I want to tell Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah. So
Bill O'Reilly, just butt the shuck up and do some research, Bill. It's right there on tape. Watch 9/11 Octopus Part 8 and start explaining.
Okay, so what should people do? You're a good example of this. Some people ask me, as if I had the answer, what should I do now that I know 9/11 is a fraud and we need to reboot the system? What can I do? And I basically say, hey, you have skills, you have ideas, you go. There's so many good things you could do. Like I always think of Jeff Hill, the pumpitout.com guy who does these cold call interviews to people that are involved in some way or another with 9/11 evidence. It's great stuff. And Warren, one thing you're doing is working with Nico Haupt on what was it called? TP News?
IP News. Yeah, it's just a little joke.
IP News. And there's some gag stuff in there that is really good. Hey, some humor can help the cause, can it?
Humor is always, that's what I mean, George Carlin, losing him, that's a huge thing. But Nico and I are also doing some TV fakery T-shirts pretty soon that are really nice. But just played a song called Back in the USSR, and 40 years on, it's quite chilling to hear those words because that's where we are right now. This is a very kind of Sovietized America. What does Bush Sr. call it? Communitarianism, you know? It's it's pretty scary. But let's get, I want to get on to 9/11. There's one thing I never heard it quite put this way. I hear a lot of these supposed debunkers saying, well, how can you say that? How many times have you seen a plane going into a building? And people go, oh, yeah, right, I never did. Well, just imagine, Dr. Reynolds, one of those steel core beams, right, like a flagpole, 1,000 feet in the air, okay? And you're on an airplane. And you're going to hit that. You're going to hit that steel beam. That one single flagpole-esque beam. Your wing is going to hit it. There will be no melding, guaranteed. There will be a crash. The wing.
Oh yeah, that plane is toast. It's spun.
Yeah. If the nose hit that one single steel beam, the nose will not pass through the other side of that beam intact.
No.
So let's not even talk about buildings. We can imagine being on a plane and hitting a flagpole.
Yeah, you see these planes that hit a telephone pole or some wires, they crash.
Oh, yeah, there was a plane that Bush Sr. was on, I believe, that crashed, and they showed what happened to it after it knocked down a pole. I think it lost an engine as well.
Yeah, it was somehow related to, I think it was at that George Bush International Airport there, IAH, in Houston. It was a plane that he was going to get on or had departed from. Yeah, he wasn't on it, but how long ago? That's 5-6 years ago or something, yeah. But here we are, Warren. So many people, I can remember on that day, my day, that was the one thing I questioned. I didn't see any of the TV coverage because I was escaping Washington, D.C. with a lot of other bureaucrats. And I said,
the radio?
When I saw these accounts later, I said, an aluminum plane just disappeared into a steel tower. Could that really happen? And you look around and say, well, nobody else is questioning it. And put it on the back burner. But it always bothered me.
Well, the physics should really bother everyone. I don't understand how NIST is getting away with what they're getting away with. You know, all the people out there in the 9/11 partial truth movement, I just want to say something to all the people in the 9/11 partial truth movement. Remember what Nick Rockefeller told Aaron Russo. The most important thing he told them 11 months before 9/11 was not that an event was going to happen. When Aaron said to him, how are you going to do this? What are you going to make people believe that this cave, people going in caves and all this? How are you going to believe it? And Aaron heard from Nick Rockefeller, we got the media, Aaron. We got the media.
Yeah.
So that means we don't have the media.
Did Aaron have that on his film, From Freedom to Fascism?
I don't know if it's in that film or not. It's definitely on an interview with Alex Jones.
I haven't seen the film. I've heard good things about it.
It's in Zeitgeist as well. So here's my, you're a professor, here's my equation for the post, to explain the post 9/11 world. You ready?
Okay.
2 + 2 no longer equals 4. It equals X. Don't bother asking for a reason. That's classified.
And, hey, we're working daily to protect you. So just shut up and be protected, right? Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Yeah. Look, we
Muslim
know now.
Muslim terrorists lurk.
We know. TV is a weapon, and we're the targets.
Well, to go back to Aaron Russo's listening to this Nick Rockefeller statement reminds me of Joe Keith, the aerospace software engineer and 9/11 real truther, who says, hey, you know, the mass media are the enforcement arm of the powers that be.
That's correct.
Because
you
they're steering the thing, so to speak, right?
Yeah,
they keep
David
the sheep
Rockefeller
in the right pastures.
You don't have David Rockefeller at the Council on Foreign Relations thanking Time, Newsweek, all the network news for 40 years of silence while they went about their global agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And look at this. I read somebody's column about the death of Tim Russert. Now, actually, it was Gene Lyons, who's kind of an interesting columnist who writes for the Democrat Gazette here in Arkansas. And he said, you know, there's something terribly wrong when you have this funeral with all these limousines coming up to, because Russert was a courtier despite his reputation for being a vigorous investigator and interrogator. He's part. He's kind of one of the lead sled dogs in keeping the fraud going.
If you want to know about Tim Russert, check out ipnews.blogspot.com.
This is Morgan Reynolds, your host on the Dynamic Duo, and we're talking 9/11 with Warren Fucarullo. We'll be back after the break. While Kevin Barrett takes up Mondays and Fridays. That's the source of the Dynamic Duo label. And today I'm speaking in this last segment with Warren Fucarullo, who's a wonderful musician and what should we say, strongly opinionated guest. And what I over the break, Warren was thinking about the Marvin Gaye song "What's Going On," where he was waking up to the Vietnam issue and political social issues late. And I was surprised that you were didn't come to this 9/11 realization till somewhat belatedly, although I wasn't early really myself. But and my other reaction is that as part of your wake-up process, I'm heartened to learn that you saw me on this three-and-a-half-minute interview on Fox where I said, no, there aren't any planes, they're crashing. And it's, you know, we constantly hear from the official truth movement that you can't bring out this fact that there are no planes because it discredits the 9/11 truth movement by putting out fantastic disinfo. And yet, different people react differently, don't they? I mean, some people seize on this right away. Oh, I get it.
Well, I think, and Alex Jones said this to me too. He said different filmmakers have a way, you know, have certain talents when they put things together, and people can understand it easier. A perfect example of that is a clip called 9/11 Amateur Part 2 by Simon Chak. It destroys the Norde brothers' first shot, that lucky first shot that they. It destroys them. It's you know, in a court of law, guilty, 100%.
Right, and you know, I have a federal court case, as does Dr. Judy Wood in the Southern District of New York. And if we can get to discovery, we might be able to have these people testify under oath.
I told you the Norde brothers have a new film coming out. I think it's called In God's Name, and so that's coming out shortly. But there's another clip. There's another clip by a guy named Fred, BS Registration, clip called 9/11 Octopus Part 8. And there you're seeing three stations all showing the same time, showing three different realities. So you see one, Channel 4.
And one of them had no plane in the shot.
Yeah, there's no plane in the NBC shot, and there's two different type of planes, one of them where the nose goes through the other side of the building, and they black the screen out on Fox. So there's three different things. WB-11 shows a little helicopter-type thing. It's ridiculous that we fell for this. Also, if you just watch unedited, this is CBS. CBS 9/11 As It Happened Part 2. You will see Bryant Gumbel fumble through trying to be a real journalist, a news announcer, during a breaking news story where he shows two CGI tapes that are different than the one that he showed first, which was the live shot, which has nothing in it. This is just as it was on CBS.
Yeah.
And you know, if it's on CBS, it must be BS.
Right, just drop the C. Right. Well, I have an attentive listener who emailed me a second time. And the other major issue was, you mentioned controlled demolition. Well, there's a big controversy about what poofed or made the towers go away. What caused all the damage to the other WTC buildings?
I'd say
was
the kitchen sink, wouldn't you?
Directed energy weapon? Was it the mini nukes? Was it thermite, et cetera? Where do you sit on those options?
Very simple. I put it all into kitchen sink.
Meaning
they used the lot. Things they're using in Iraq, things they used in Bosnia, things they've been working on.
Oh, you're saying they used multiple tools, multiple weapons?
Oh, yeah. There's another film that should be ready today, actually, the DVD, another Simon Shack film called September Clues. Now, the number one movie in America right now is Get Smart. If we want people to really get smart, let's make the number one movie on the Internet, September Clues. And then everyone will know what you were talking about, and they'll see every aspect of TV fakery right before your eyes, including towards the end of the film, there's a CNN anchor waiting for the grieving family members of the people from the flights to show up, and no one comes. And then they close the airport down.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty
that
hilarious.
One. But I know that Ellen Mariani, the alleged widow of her husband, who she believed died on UA flight 175 that didn't fly into the South Tower. But on one radio show, she tried to get in touch with the survivors of other victims on that flight and couldn't find anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, there are, you know, if you read Operation Northwoods, like most people should, you'll see in 1962 they devised a very similar plan to 9/11. And back in 62, they were going to use remote-controlled airplanes. Now, that's very 60s. We know that because they only need, you know, computer inserts now. But people like Ellen Mariani and maybe there was one other woman that was on Larry King a lot. These people might have had husbands who were operatives, you know, and they just got duped, you know. Very simple, because in Northwoods it does say the passengers that they would choose would be carefully selected or operatives.
Or faked names.
Yeah, or just completely made up. Yeah, but, you know, the ones you need to go on TV, the ones you need to sob at the fake funeral, you know, you need some actors. And you might even also have some real victims because they were unknowing of what was going on in their husband or wife's life, you know. Valerie Plame, anyone?
Right, yeah. I know that the retired pilot John Lear claims that, you know, the Chick Burlingame was supposedly the pilot of Flight 77 that supposedly went into the Pentagon. And Burlingame's, was it his daughter, was murdered under strange circumstances.
I know, that's fire.
About
2 years
ago.
I read that,
Yeah. So that's real suspicious. None of these things are, you know, evidence that we could say, oh, they proved so-and-so, but very interesting circumstantial evidence.
Well, I don't believe in our justice system. I mean, you know, I know we don't have a justice system. Basically,
well, that's a problem, too. But to me, it's not sufficient to not try to use the rules of the justice system I love. And, for example, you can't introduce fake evidence or perjure yourself without risking penalties, that kind of thing. We're very good.
Well, then how is Larry Silverstein suing the airlines?
Yeah, isn't that something?
I mean, who's representing him, Elmer Fudd?
And, yeah, you know, and part of the problem is that, you know, truth isn't allowed in by either side in that kind of a lawsuit.
Well, yeah, that's wonderful.
In other words, the fact that there were no airline flights that crashed at any of the four events.
Oh, yeah, he's suing them because they didn't have enough security to protect them from letting Muslim hijackers get on the planes and do what they did.
It's crazy. It's like you say, the back in the U.S.
Remember what Scum Rothschild said back in the day?
It's too close to the truth.
You remember what Scum Rothschild said back in the day? Give me control of a nation's money. I care not who makes its laws.
Mm-hmm.
Well, give me control of the world's media, and you give me control of the collective mind.
Right, and
then we're screwed.
The internet is one of those escape valves that's working in our favor, at least so far.
We would be
far along if we didn't have that communication device, wouldn't you say?
Oh, we'd be completely screwed because the reason why this is being unveiled now. Not that they don't want it unveiled, but the reason being is that the information can spread, and it was always, all knowledge was kept from the people at the bottom throughout the ages.
Yeah, so we have at least one advantage. This is Morgan Reynolds, your guest host on the Dynamic Duo. Please tune in tomorrow. Thanks to Warren Cuccarullo for a wonderful interview, mostly about 9/11. Thanks, Warren.
Pleasure, Morgan.